You know, I've heard it said that carpenters should measure twice but only cut once. It's a good idea to stop and think before you do something that's going to make a difference. Cutting a piece of wood is one thing. Getting married is certainly at another level. Stop and think. And so today we're going to talk about what you should think about, the questions you should ask before you get married. We talked about this a couple weeks back, and we've had so much response, we wanted to revisit this topic again today. And by the way, I invite you to call. You can share on our comment line live today, 888-888-1717. But on the air, because this is from our archives, we have all the calls that we need for the program today. So we're not taking any live calls today. But you're going to learn a lot from the ones that I'll be sharing with you in just a moment. Before you get married, did you have a red flag, a yellow flag? What should you do? Not only from the caller that I'm going to share with you in just a moment, because it's a pretty powerful reminder of how this can be problematic, but it might be something even of lesser significance. What do you do with a red flag before you get married? Again, our comment line, 888-888-1717. Let's get back to a call I shared a couple weeks ago. I think it'll set the stage for us today. Take a listen to Tiffany.
I'm not married yet, but my boyfriend and I talk about heading that direction. And in the beginning, I found out that he was replying to texts from his ex-girlfriend and broke my trust, obviously, because he knew how I felt about him communicating with her. And I know it was a mistake. I do feel that he just didn't know how to handle it. I guess I've just been kind of battling with that. I feel sometimes that I have passed it and then something will bring it back up. And I guess I just kind of want to know, how do I deal with it? How do I make that go away completely forever? And like, what can I do to be intentional on fixing what I need to fix within myself?
All right. Maybe you heard, Tiffany, that call from a few weeks back when we had people calling in the overflow we're bringing on the air today. And you're welcome to join in with your comments at 888-888-1717. If you've been around me at all, you've been at one of my conferences or read any of my books, you know that I'm pro-marriage. I believe in marriage. I believe in the power of what God can do in marriages. I guess I'm an optimist when it comes that God can, I've seen it, restore relationships. And so I'm wide awake and alert to the fact that before you get married, there are issues that can come up. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't get married, but I'll tell you what, if these issues are serious, they need to be really resolved, get them out on the table. Unfortunately, too much of premarital counseling, and pastors listening, you know, you've seen it, is wrapped with the hormones of happiness, you know. Life is going to be good, there's not going to be any problems, or we'll work it out later, and then later comes, and it begins to be difficult. So what would you say to the Tiffany's of the world today? All right, Aaron wants to join in. Says here from Arizona. Aaron, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, what would you say today?
I would just say that, you know, my husband and I, we went through a very similar situation in the beginning of our marriage. We struggled with very similar trust issues, and it's important to lay out the expectations that that type of behavior is just not acceptable. And that it will not be tolerated. And it's also not a wanting to make that relationship work on Tiffany's part. It's a willingness on his part to do what is necessary to rebuild that trust.
Yeah.
And in our marriage, you know, I had good days and I had bad days. And the bad days were very frequent in the beginning. And you just have to learn to hand it over to God if staying together is what is important at the end of the day, and you want to forgive and move on.
Now, when you say you had this before, similar to what you just heard from Tiffany, how did you deal with that?
It was hard. We talked about it. We talked about it a lot. It came up frequently in, you know, the several months preceding the incident, and it took just a lot of him trying to reaffirmed that he wanted to be with me and that it wasn't important about these other people. Mm-hmm. And he made the choice to cut those people out of his life, which was a big step on his part to show that he was, in fact, serious about our relationship. And as we continue to move forward, I mean, I still have bad days. I called them, I love you today, but I don't like you today.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that because of lack of trust, or you just haven't been able to forgive or let go of those that time?
It's the lack of trust. I refer to them as enemy attacks. You know, yeah. I feel like the enemy is trying to seep in and create turmoil in our house and in our marriage. And those days are just emotional days. They've gotten better. They're farther and fewer in between, but I really haven't reached a point where it's just gone away completely.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that it ever will. But you know, my husband's intentional act towards remediating the situation, he does a lot of freelance work. So he's gone for, you know, sometimes 12 or 13 hours a day. And he'll send me pictures of the work that he's doing so that I know that he's where he says he is, and he's with who he says he's with. So it alleviates some of those trust concerns, because he knows that it's an issue and that it will be a potential lifelong issue that we have to work towards.
And as I hear you say, you understand he's being faithful. You're just struggling with the history and feeling just that Satan attacking you, as you say, with this trust issue for yourself.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's you know, but, and I don't know how, you know, current and recent the situation is with Tiffany, if it's a current situation. You know, she's experiencing the emotions as they come, and it's a lot. I can appreciate that. So it just takes time and a willingness on both parties to do what's necessary to rebuild that relationship.
Well, we're all different, Aaron. We all have different levels, thresholds when it comes to issues. And our prayer for you is that the threshold will grow, that you'll find more trust in your husband, and that that will become less and less of an issue for you as a result of just the acting lovingly toward each other, and that Satan won't be now using that to get into your relationship further. All right. Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you're listening to Intentional Living today.
Yeah. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Let's see. Holly's on the line in Michigan. Holly, what's your thought on this today?
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I have a few thoughts and I want to narrow them quickly, but I will say that when my husband and I met, it was in a really amazing group of people. We were ministering to other people. It was really deep. Lots of really awesome stuff was going on where we were getting to know each other on a really deep level. And before we decided, well, after we decided to get married, we pursued two different forms of counseling. And
what do you mean two different forms? What were they?
We did, we first met with the pastor that was going to marry us, and that was a very light, easy, silly kind of counseling. And then we met with a life coach, and we dove in deep.
Good.
And cried and did a lot of crazy stuff. But both of those types of counseling left us with some serious gaps. And I think...
What do you mean, gaps?
Well, because my husband struggled with depression and pornography, his father had died, lots of drama, lots of scenarios on his end. I had grown up in a very dysfunctional home. I had a lot of father issues. We both had wounds. We both had major stuff going on. I'm a conflict person. He runs away. I'm forward. He's backward. Everything is different about us.
Well,
and
for people listening, it sounds like a train wreck about ready to happen.
Yeah. We're 11 years in, and we have our second appointment for our next round of counseling tomorrow. So I think what my point is the counseling that you pursue prior to getting married, and I missed if she's already married or not, but the counseling you pursue prior to getting married has to really hit a lot of different areas of life. It can't just be like, how do you communicate? And are you interested in having kids or not? It has to like really go deep on a lot of different levels to successfully maneuver through big issues. And my husband had a box of letters from his ex-girlfriend that he was unable to get rid of until 2 years ago.
Well, did you know he had them?
Yes. I knew he had them. We talked about it a few times. I tried not to be, I wasn't pushy, but I was clear that, you know, this probably needs to go soon. What can we do about this? And he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways I've been overly patient, and certainly he has been overly patient with me in some ways too. But I think if we had been able to get into counseling sooner than 11 years in,
mm-hmm.
It would have been a lot easier to deal with the craziness that we're now in.
But see, part of what you've done, Holly, and I don't know what the craziness now, life has those crazy moments, and I've noticed that. I mean, you go through process. Like I say, life is particularly messy in the middle. It's like any project. You have to start with a lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of expectations, and the end of something can be positive too if you're building a business or whatever. But in the middle, it gets messy, and I think life sometimes in the middle gets pretty messy. But you did some right things. You surrounded yourself with believers. You've been asking the right questions, tough questions, and you acknowledge the fact that you're different. Like you said, one's confrontational, one's not. You're more confrontational. He's more of a pulling away kind of a person. If we know those kinds of things and be honest about them and talk about them, that's half the battle. Thank you for joining us. We're taking calls and comments today. In fact, let me play Tiffany, if you missed her, and then we'll take a quick break. Tiffany called. What would you say to her? When she called me, I don't know what Tiffany decided to do. I don't. But what would you say to her if you were her mom and dad, or you're a friend in facing this?
I'm not married yet, but my boyfriend and I talk about heading that direction. And in the beginning, I found out that he was replying to texts from his ex-girlfriend and broke my trust, obviously, because he knew how I felt about him communicating with her. And I know it was a mistake. I do feel that he just didn't know how to handle it. I guess I've just been kind of battling with that. I feel sometimes that I have passed it and then something will bring it back up. And I guess I just kind of want to know, how do I deal with it? How do I make that go away completely forever? And like, what can I do to be intentional on fixing what I need to fix within myself?
All right. We'll be back with more of your comments. Don't go away. As I say at Intentional Living, we tend to judge ourselves by our good intentions. And I think many times people get into marriage because their intentions are good, but we always judge by the other person by their expectations.
Mm.
And so that's why in counseling, I've seen couples that I've counseled with over the years, and the guy's just oblivious. You know, I'm going to work, I'm doing my thing, I'm doing all these things, and she's just never happy.
Mm.
Well, I said, hey, is it possible that your intentions are good? I mean, you're doing all the right things. But her expectation is time, sharing, being there, and you're missing the difference between an intention and an expectation.
Oh, my goodness.
And whenever an expectation is not met, we know that creates disappointment in a relationship.
Oh, man. Man, I'm telling you, that I'm writing all of this down right now. Praise the Lord. That is it. Gosh, that just spoke to me on so many levels right now. That was awesome.
You know, that was Mike Weaver. We were sharing together in the studio, and one of the things I love about Mike Weaver, Big Daddy Weave, you hear him on the air with his great music, is he's just down to earth. He's a real guy. He's got challenges in his life. He's going to be sharing his story with us on the upcoming Intentional Living cruise to Alaska. He and his wife, Candace, will be with us and their children, and we're looking forward to it. I tell you, I get a chance. I'm looking forward. I got my lessons together, things I want to share with you just to encourage you on the cruise. Mike's going to be leading us in worship. Our ministry president, Evan Carlson, is going to be sharing. But mostly it's going to be for you and your family, you and your spouse, you and your friend as you come to be a part of this cruise experience, seeing these beautiful sights, the grandeur of God's creation. What a beautiful place Alaska is. We've picked a beautiful month. It's a great month, June 12 through 19, 12 through 19, the cruise to Alaska. We want to have you be a part of it. We're getting down to the point you got to get that cabin reserved. Can I encourage you to do that today? You know, maybe this is going to be an opportunity to say, hey, honey, this is our anniversary coming up. Hey, let's take this cruise. Come and be a part of it. Get all the information you need at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. All right. What would you say to Tiffany that started our show here? You heard her comment just a couple minutes ago. It's a powerful reminder, isn't it, about, well, thinking through before you make big decisions. Letizia is on the line here from Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. And our resident theologian, researcher, Stephen Davis, looked it up, and in Latin, your name means happy. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
So you're a happy person?
Yes, I try to be. When I'm in the Word of God, yes, I am.
There you go. I understand that. All right. So what would you say to Tiffany?
To Tiffany?
Yeah.
Or anyone. I've been married going 20 years tomorrow, and my belief is, and I wish I would have known this, because, you know, as parents, you know, we should teach our children the morals and how to look for a significant other according to God's word. I wish I would have had that training when I was smaller, younger as a child, that I would have known how to chose the person that God would like me to be married, because he wants us to have, you know, every family is going to be dysfunctional. It's not going to be a perfect marriage. But if we can have that knowledge, because, you know, the Bible says the word of the Lord, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we won't train our children to look for that spouse that God wants them to look mm-hmm. for, there is going to be a lot of, hurts. You know, it seems like she's lost trust because of an issue with the ex-girlfriend. I'm married. My husband and I have been married going on 20 years tomorrow. And we are a blended family. He had a first wife and she had two children. And then another second wife, but he had a relationship with the woman, which, you know, they have another child. So I had to deal with my yeah. children and his children. I mean, you got to really, really seek the Lord to see if is this what you want? Because if marriage is forever, it's a vow, it's a promise.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we live in a time where that is not considered sometimes, or it's lightly considered. As opposed to saying, hey, this is a really big deal, and it's more than just how I'm feeling today. And frankly, I think when we see the uptick on people just living together and not getting married, I think a lot of that with younger people today, they look at how moms and dads and grandparents' marriages have failed and not lasted, and thinking, hey, I don't want to get caught up in that, you know, that kind of thing. We'll just live together. And we see that being very, very prevalent today. All right. Thank you, Letizia. Appreciate it. And stay happy. All right. Hey, what are your thoughts? You're welcome to join us at 888-888-1717. And we got Tina on the line in Michigan. Tina, what's your thought on Tiffany's call to me from before?
Well, I have to say that I think the young man is a little selfish. He's not considering her feelings. So that is a red flag. And if she does want to still think about marriage, I think that they should do pre-marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter and her now husband did pre-marriage counseling with our pastor and their wife, and it was like a 6-week thing, and they went through a book. It changed them so much. Mm. I thank the pastor and his wife because I could see the change in them for the better. And I was actually a little worried about them at first because they were just 20 at the time, so I was just a little concerned about if they were mature enough.
Yeah.
But they changed a lot through that. And my daughter even came home once and said, "Mom, we had this question: what baggage are we bringing in that our parents passed on to us from raising us?" And she said, "I couldn't think of anything." she said, "So I just put down the good things that you guys..."
Yeah, that's good.
Me.
Well, that's nice if we carry a small bag into marriage as opposed to a big one. But as some people do, they carry and they drag in a lot of baggage from their family of origin, how they grew up, or previous experiences. And if those things are not just revealed and understood and clarified and dealt with, it can become a weight that drags a marriage down.
Yeah, because that was just such a compliment to me from her, because that was something I tried hard to work with my children, was, you know, to not have them bring anything into their future marriage, because I came from a broken home.
Mm.
And, you know, our marriage is awesome, but, and it pretty much has that, but it, but I could see how that brokenness, had some issues in our marriage. So.
Mm. All right. Very good. Thank you, Tina. Appreciate your call. A lot of interesting comments. If you missed the show from earlier, we started with Tiffany from Arizona. She called me some time ago. And like I said, I don't know what she decided to do. I'd love to know what you decided to do, Tiffany. But there have been a lot of good comments for others who are listening today. And I think the summary of all of this is, we think about doing the next right one thing and being intentional. If you're about to get married, if you're thinking of developing a more serious relationship, there's some questions you need to be asking yourself about yourself and about this person. Are you willing to put the needs of that person above your own? Are you a person that's easily offended or carry grudges or unwilling to forgive? Are you unwilling to commit? Are there addiction problems? Is your career more important than that relationship? Do you share the same values, the same beliefs, the same life priorities or vision for the future? Are you unwilling to be an active partner sexually with your spouse? Are you unwilling to agree on an approach to handling finances and your children and life decisions? And this is a big one. If you expect this person you're about to marry to change after you get married, think twice, because that generally doesn't happen. Things to do before you get married. Questions to ask, all right? Important for you at Intentional Living.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
And you get people that get older, sometimes they fade. They just fade in terms of just sitting. And that's not God's intention for us. And so keep in mind that Satan, he's going to thrive. Whatever it is that you get to a place where you say, hey, I just feel like, yeah, that's it. It is what it is. You got to fight that. Because Satan will thrive at that point. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 4, I have fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I kept the faith. God's intention is not for us to fade, but to keep fighting to the end, right? Intentional living can save your life. That is a huge statement. In fact, it's the topic of the lesson this month, our mentoring lesson for our members. I believe it. I've seen it. You have a choice, and I have a choice every day how we choose to live. We can either live a good intentioned life with lots of good intentions and not acted on, or we can live an unintentional life, which is basically doing one thing and then the next. They may be good things, but they're not intentional things. And at the end of the day, we're weary and exhausted. That's how we know we're living an unintentional life. So the lesson this month is on intentional living can save your life. Members, it's been sent to you already by email and video. I hope you enjoy it. And we're getting near to the end of the month, and it's a reminder that this is near the last call for those of you who are joining us in monthly support, becoming a monthly member of Intentional Living, that we're also including the Chronological Bible, the Intentional Word, 365-day reading plan to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. This is the entire Bible, our gift to you to say thank you for joining us. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And it's because of your support that a story like this is reality.
We just weren't really on the same page, so there tend to be a lot of cold shoulders and disagreements and not being able to come together. My one big challenge was to speak life into my marriage by giving my husband a word of praise or a word of encouragement every day. After the challenge, we're doing better. We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first before ourselves, and that has really made a difference. I thought I was praying for him to understand me and better communication coming from him. God answered my prayer by giving me the understanding about him.
There you go. Thank you, Natasha. Appreciate it. By the way, all your comments, we get to them. We love listening to what you're saying, what you're doing, what your feedback is, and how you're choosing to be intentional in your life. So share it with us on our comment line. Do we have time for a call? We got Christina from Texas with a marriage question on our comment line.
Hello. I had a question about your comment concerning, you said there are several different type of relationships. And one of the relationships that you had mentioned was two prison mates. And that just kind of touched me because I think that's just what kind of situation that I'm in myself. That I find that neither one of us are happy and we're going through the motions, but we're still, neither one of us wants to get out.
Well, thank you, Christina. And for those who don't know, I've done a teaching sort of giving a word picture of how some marriages work. Obviously, being a soulmate is an ultimate where you're really connected at that soul level. You share the same values, the beliefs. You're really connected in all these important areas of your life. Unfortunately, some marriages are more roommate-like, you know. And with a roommate, think about when you went to school, if you went to college, you had a roommate, or you went to camp, you had a roommate. And you get along, enjoy each other, but you kind of do your own thing. You got your own life. You keep your half clean. I'll keep my half clean. You pick up your mess. I'll pick up my mess. And some marriages are like that. And it sounds like maybe you're struggling with that, Christina. You're kind of just roommates. Prison mates, a little different. And I've never been there, but I'm assuming a prison mate is kind of a survival thing, you know? We don't want to be here. We'd rather be free. We'd rather be anywhere else than here. And of course, that's not what God's intention is. So what do you do? I think you start with acknowledging the fact that as roommates or prison mates, that God has something better, and then say, we're going to get some counseling. We're going to figure out what our vision is, what God has for us. Go back to what attracted us to each other in the first place and start the process. Because listen, life is very short. And God's intention is we ultimately, not out of perfection, because that's impossible, but that we would move to become more soul-mated, if I can put it that way, in our relationship. We'd love to hear your comments. If you missed any of the program today, I want you to know it's available on demand at our website. Just go to theintentionallife.com to hear today's program, or any of our archive programs are there for you at theintentionallife.com. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.